Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, August 7th. And today we're going around the internet with some things from the last few days that have piqued the interests of NBA fans and talking about it as it pertains to the Pistons. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine this summer as August rolls on, the dead month of the NBA. We're piping out content anyway. We'll be here with you all month. Like we said, today going around the internet, talking about the Vegas odds for the Pistons making the playoffs, the ESPN projections for playoff seedings as well, as the rosters have pretty much calmed down and all the prognosticators are starting to look at their projections through the season. And also, Bleacher Report had some unkind things to say about the new Pistons front office in their rankings of NBA front offices, and we'll get into that as well. But go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. A lot of the things that we talk about here on the show and a lot of things that just catch my eye about the Pistons on Twitter, we'll just kind of retweet with the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. So give that one a follow and let me know what you think. And if you have anything that you see might should maybe shared by that account, make sure you point that out to us on social media as well. And give us a like on Facebook as well at Locked On Pistons Matt Shook. But Westgate, one of the top Vegas sports books, released their over-unders for the NBA season, I believe, on Friday. And since we're desperate for some of the news, as a lot of people are that cover the NBA these days, let's talk about that. The good news, if you're looking at it from a Pistons perspective, trying to be positive about the upcoming season, Detroit has the eighth highest projected win total in the Eastern Conference, meaning Las Vegas thinks the Pistons are a playoff team, and pretty comfortably given that they are two games ahead of Charlotte for those over-under totals. The bad news is that number seems, well, pretty freaking low, really. 37.5 projected wins for the Detroit Pistons, meaning that there's also 44.5 projected losses. So a team that's seven games under 500 in terms of the projected win-loss totals, pretty disheartening for a Detroit fan base that hopes for an improvement, a pretty big improvement from last year's disappointing season. Now remember, the Pistons were projected for 38.5 wins at this time last season by Westgate. So one game higher last season than they are right now. That team ended up going 39-43, missing the playoffs. So they went over. They were 0.5 wins over that 38.5 over-under plateau. So a slight victory, I guess, for confident Pistons fans there who put some money on the over. This projection, as we said, comes in at one game lower in the preseason than last year, despite what seems like an upgrade in overall talent levels, in my opinion, which I think is a pretty universal thought, at least here in Pistons land. What I believe is an upgrade in coaching from Dwayne Casey, from SVG to Dwayne Casey. Again, possibly a thing that can be debated. And the Eastern Conference appears to have a few more wins baked into the schedule, most notably with the Cleveland Cavaliers going from a team that is one of the powers of the Eastern Conference and now a team that appears to be outside of the playoff picture, despite what some have mentioned out there. Bet Online also has, by the way, the Pistons as a 6-1 team to win the Central Division, third in their ranking of Central Division odds of the five teams there, which seems about right. Indianapolis, the Pacers, and the Milwaukee Bucks are tied as division favorites, according to Bet Online, at +140, followed by Detroit in third at 6-1, the Cleveland Cavaliers at 12-1, so not even close to the Pistons in the distant fourth place, according to the Las Vegas Sportsbook. And then the Chicago Bulls pulling in the rear at 20-1. I was a little bit surprised, and some of you have maybe criticized me for being a little bit Chicago-centric at times. Obviously, I lived in Chicago for most of the early days of this podcast, so you can't maybe blame me for too much of that. But anyway, Chicago's win total, I believe, is like 27.5, third worst in the NBA, despite adding Jabari Parker, who I know isn't an all-star caliber player or anything like that, but seemed like an overall talent upgrade when you talk about Wendell Carter, a nice draft pick there. The health of Zach LaVine, who missed the first half of last season, the projected maturation of Lauri Markkanen going into year two. It just seems like a team that's at least a little bit on the rise, but for them to be pegged as the third worst team in the NBA by the same Westgate totals seems like, and I guess these are the kind of things that all NBA fan bases are maybe a little bit disenchanted about, because you maybe look at the offseason of your team, you get pretty excited about it, and then when you realize that every fan base is pretty excited about their off seasons, that can't really coincide and mesh too well together. And again, keep it in mind that Las Vegas does this. They set the win pool, they set the lines for games, they set everything with the idea being that just as many people will bet on one side as the other. So it's not necessarily a projection in terms of what they think is going to happen, but what they think the general public, how they will fall in terms of balance on both sides. So the same sports book, BetOnline, that also had the Pistons tied for seventh in odds to win the East at 50-1. So they're tied with Miami as the seventh place team. So again, playoff picture when you look at BetOnline in terms of how they think the Pistons stack up in the Eastern Conference. But really, at the end of the day, no realistic chance of winning the Eastern Conference, according to Las Vegas, although a slight 6-1 outside-ish chance of winning the Central Division. And I have to say, with Vegas being consistently more correct than the rest of our projections, it gave me a little bit of a moment of panic when I looked at that 37.5 win total. I looked at the numbers and reminded myself that Detroit went 39-43 last season. Vegas nailed it there, and they say that the Pistons are about a game worse going into next season. Well, I got to tell you, that didn't get me super excited to watch 82 games coming up this year. So let me know what you think about that, and I got some of your reactions already on Twitter. And first off, my co-worker at Associated Press, well, I guess I should say a fellow freelancer for AP, Dave Hoge, who I know and have followed on Twitter for a while, he had this to say: putting the Pistons at 37.5 is already baking in some injury time for Griffin and or Jackson. I think I would still lean toward the under. And this is, again, coming from Dave Hoge, who's a guy who spends a lot of time at Little Caesars Arena during the winter at Red Wings and Pistons games, covering them for NHL.com and also, like I mentioned, the Associated Press as well. So a guy who is really on top of the team, really on top of what's going on with the franchise. Some of you guys reacted to Dave having that to say. James Robinson on Twitter says the Pistons will win more than 37 games. Jamon Alexander, my guy out in Grand Rapids, says 44-45 wins at least. And for myself, I'm with the over, no doubt. I might even throw some action on it to make the season a little bit more exciting. Although that will go against some of my betting principles that I've had. I'm one of those guys who sometimes likes to hedge my bets. Like if the Pistons do well and I lose an under bet on them, then overall I'll be pretty happy with it anyways, even though you lose a little bit of money there. But if we have to sludge through a season where they win 37 games or less coming up, then at least if you throw an under bet out there and that loses, then you win some money and that hedges the situation for you. But hey, I'm not telling you how to spend your money. Let me know what you think. 37.5, does that sound about right? Do you think the Pistons will finish ahead of that? Or do you think much lower than that? And I think it's quite normal that many of you will probably think they're over, just like I do. And that's just kind of how NBA fans are. We're provincial. We want our team to win. And at this point in the season, there's no reason to have a more negative view on your team than the Las Vegas experts, unless you're one of those Pistons fans who are already disenchanted and already you're kind of wandering through the woods and have lost track of this team on a daily basis. And in that case, you're probably not listening to this podcast anyway. But up next, we're going through the Kevin Pelton's playoff projections with the NBA on ESPN that were released last week as well. And hey, you've heard me talk about advertising, and we're going to be actively looking for more of them now that I'm back in Detroit. If your company wants to reach that key demo of men between the ages of 18 and 44, provincial Detroit sports fans that probably have ties to the Metro Detroit area and an interest in spending their dollars locally, then you should be sponsoring this podcast. 98% men and 80% of those between the ages of 18 and 44. All sorts of daily dedicated listeners. If you're interested in reaching that group, email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
Well, Bleacher Report had a not-so-great assessment of the Pistons front office. We will discuss that later. But first, hey, it's election day. It's primary day here in Michigan as you listen to this podcast on Tuesday. Get out and vote. One of the worst things about these days, and there are many, many bad things, is the low turnouts in elections, especially my demographic. And young people don't vote. They never have, and it sucks. And we are now seeing the consequences of years and years of inaction for all levels, at all levels of government. So let's do our part to try and turn things around. So get out and vote today. Kevin Pelton of ESPN.com released his playoff projections last week. The Pistons get the eighth seed and has them in the playoffs, pairing up with the Toronto Raptors, who still get the one seed after all the shakeups up north on the bench with Dwayne Casey and Nick Nurse, and with the star switch that they made with the trade between DeMar DeRozan and Kawhi Leonard from the San Antonio Spurs. For the Pistons, Pelton also pegged Detroit, the projected win total at 39.4. So that would be rounded down to right at the 39-43 record from last year. Also projecting that number to be good enough to make the Eastern Conference playoffs. Just sliding Cleveland down the standings after LeBron leaves and Detroit up into that final spot with every other Eastern Conference playoff team staying the same. Really, it's a pretty unremarkable Eastern look, pretty standard for the playoffs that he looks at there. Although I will say Boston number two behind Toronto was a surprise to me. Pelton has the Toronto Raptors at number one, the Boston Celtics number two, the Philadelphia 76ers number three, the Pacers at four, the Milwaukee Bucks at five, the Miami Heat at six, and the Washington Wizards at seven before Detroit pulls up the rear at eight. Now, like I said, 39.4 wins on the projection, almost a two full wins higher than what Las Vegas has for the Pistons, but really nothing too jarring there when you look at the Eastern Conference projections that he has. I think many of us would have maybe had Milwaukee higher than five, maybe even up to three or four on that list, maybe even two if you're a bullish on the projections for Giannis Antetokounmpo, along with Mike Budenholzer and the shakeups that the Bucks have had, most notably Jabari Parker leaving town there. The West is where it's a little bit more interesting. Got a lot of the headlines, as you probably saw on the internet and throughout Twitter last week as well. Most notably, the Los Angeles Lakers, Kevin Pelton says, is going to miss the playoffs. LeBron heading west and staying home for the NBA playoffs, which I don't see happening. I'm not going to guarantee that doesn't happen. Of course, barring an injury for number 23, which would change things certainly for the projections of their seasons. I got to believe that the Lakers make the playoffs. It's LeBron James. He's not missing the playoffs regardless. I got some talented young players around him. I think that they're going to get there. Westgate, as we talked about earlier in the show, with their projections that came out last week, had the Lakers at a 48.5 over-under win total, which was tied with the Utah Jazz for fourth place in the West. So a middle-of-the-pack playoff team, according to Las Vegas. And we know that the Lakers are one of those public teams which are talked about in gambling circles, the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Yankees, the Los Angeles Lakers, the team that have the more following across the country. Those are called public teams that the public seems to bet up. So sometimes those Las Vegas projections for those types of teams are a little bit off maybe from reality, but that's just the Vegas's way of trying to make the same amount of bets on both sides of those ledgers. So we know that the Lakers are one of those public teams, and they will be even more so in the age of LeBron James. But the disparity between those projections of the numbers that Kevin Pelton ran and what Las Vegas thinks is pretty jarring. By the way, his Western Conference projections for the playoffs are as follows. Number one, Golden State. Number two, the Utah Jazz. Number three, the Houston Rockets. Number four, Denver. And number five, Minnesota. I thought pretty high for both Denver at four and Minnesota at five. Those are teams that played on the last game or the 83rd game last year to determine who was going to go to the Western Conference playoffs there. And actually, I think that was the last game of the season, 82. I don't know what I was thinking there. But just so happened that they were playing in the last game of the season to try to get into the playoffs. Number six in the Western Conference playoffs was the Oklahoma City Thunder. For Kevin Pelton's projections, number seven, the New Orleans Pelicans without DeMarcus Cousins. And then number eight, the Portland Trailblazers coming in there with Damon McCollum. Didn't have the shakeup yet anyways that we were maybe anticipating Portland to make this offseason. But man, you look at those teams. You look at Golden State and then followed by Utah, Houston, Denver, Minnesota for the top five. The West doesn't really seem as imposing with that quick rundown that we gave just now. Not a lot of scary powerhouses after Golden State. Again, no reason to believe LeBron, along with some of those young, nice pieces, can get into the Western Conference playoffs. But in a bigger picture look, with the Utah Jazz being a nice team, but I don't know, like an unbeatable juggernaut at number two in the West, the Houston Rockets, pretty much the consensus being that they took a little bit of a step back, even by adding some star power in Carmelo Anthony. I don't think he's going to change the tune for them in the way that they needed to be changed this offseason going forward. Probably didn't need that age that Carmelo Anthony brings. He's pretty much washed up at this point. Number four, Denver and Minnesota. I mean, if you're looking at the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, and I know LeBron James moves over from the East to the West, and the narrative is how all the good players are in the West right now. But when you're looking at teams like Toronto and Boston and Philadelphia, Indiana, Milwaukee, obviously the Cleveland Cavaliers fall off the map with LeBron leaving, but that's some solid teams in the East. Maybe I'm showing a little bit of my Eastern Conference bias here, but I just don't think the disparity, it feels like the East is maybe doing a pretty good job organizationally wise of some teams making some good moves, really playing the long game and trying to improve in a longer term way, maybe more so than they did back in, let's say, the going to work era for the Pistons, where teams we're kind of stuck in the mud, a lot of quick fixes. I'm thinking about the Washington Wizards and Gilbert Arenas teams that just kind of feel like they could make the playoffs, so they kind of signed those guys to longer-term deals. The Boston Celtics back then with Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker. Similarly there, not really a big picture look at ways to be successful, ways to become championship teams. Whereas, you know, a team like Philadelphia made those long-term, big-picture moves. You know, say what you want about Sam Hinkie and those teams, but obviously they took some swings and swing for the fences a little bit, and it worked a few times with a team going from the bottom of the NBA to near the top of the NBA, and then Indiana making a lot of intelligent front office decisions and then getting lucky a little bit on Victor Oladipo's star power as well. The Miami Heat, we know, is an organization that seems to make good moves for the short term and the long term over the years, and John Wall and Bradley Beal, one of the most formidable backcourts in the league in Washington. Not a franchise that's made a lot of brilliant moves over the years, but have been blessed to hit the lottery a couple times with some nice picks in the backcourt there as far as talent. But, you know, interesting look from ESPN's Kevin Pelton, and Lakerland went crazy and gave Kevin Pelton the business over these last few days. But if you're a Pistons fan, and look, like I said a little bit earlier in the show, some of this is a little bit depressing. You think of that old song, Stuck in the Middle with You. The Pistons just seem to be stuck in the middle right now, projected at the 8th seed, barely sneaking in the playoffs, under 500 according to Vegas and the projection numbers from ESPN. And as rosy as an outlook as maybe some of you Pistons fans out there might have, you can't argue that it's too much different than what the experts are talking about. You might be optimistic and say it's a 45-win team or that they could climb up to the 6th seed or something like that. But being in the bottom of the Eastern Conference playoffs when you're capped out, you're not necessarily the young, exciting team that they were 3 seasons ago when they made the playoffs. So, you know, not a lot to be really excited about, especially this August. But the Bleacher Report, speaking of things to not be excited about, or maybe things to boil your blood a little bit and get you fired up in provincial if you're a Pistons fan, the Bleacher Report had a not-so-great assessment of the Pistons front office. We'll talk about that next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. By the way, as the saying goes, are you ready for some football? It is football week. The Lions are headed to Oakland, practicing with the Raiders starting today out in California. Preseason game out there on Friday night as well. The Locked On Lions podcast with Matt Derry, formerly of Detroit Radio, a daily look at the Leos, getting you ready for your NFL preseason, your fantasy draft coming up later this month as well. Check it out on the Locked On Podcast Network. Moving on, the Bleacher Report and writer Grant Hughes, not a name that I know, but apparently according to his Twitter bio, a featured columnist, which is, if you're versed on Bleacher Report history, is one of those dubious titles that writers rise to on the site. Not a whole lot of social media following, which isn't the biggest indicator of whether a guy knows his stuff or not. But take this article that we're about to talk about with definitely a grain of salt here at some level. It has the Pistons ranked, the front office ranked 26th out of 30 front offices. The only worst ones were Sacramento at 30. And check out the Locked On Kings podcast. I believe those guys had Grant Hughes on and had it out with him about the Kings being ranked 30. I don't know what the argument would be for the Kings to be ranked anything higher than 30, but you might want to check that one out because I believe those guys had him on. Hughes then had Memphis at 29, Charlotte at 28, Cleveland at 27, and then Detroit at 26. The Pistons just below the New York Knicks, the same front office that gave Tim Hardaway Jr. the $71 million deal last offseason. Orlando at 23. I know there's a lot of us that think highly of John Hammond, but a team perpetually stuck in the mud, not a lot proven by John Hammond there. 22, the New Orleans Pelicans. And here's some things that Grant had to say about the New Orleans Pelicans. Keep in mind that this is a team four spots ahead of the Detroit Pistons. The best thing you can say for Dell Demps and the Pelicans front office is that they seem to be learning from years of mistakes. He closes out the capsule by saying, if you consider the whole picture, New Orleans is a competitive team in spite of Demps and the front office. You scroll down a little bit, and he's got John Horst's name with the Milwaukee Bucks spelled incorrectly. He's got it with an H in John instead of just the actual J-O-N, which is, you know, maybe we shouldn't be talking about this article. But anyways, here's what Grant has to say about the Detroit Pistons front office ranked 26 in his article. Stan Van Gundy and Jeff Bowers, and I'll stop right there, by the way. He's got Jeff Bowers mentioned twice as B-O-W-E-R-S. We know as Pistons followers that it's just Jeff Bauer. There's no S at the end. So that's a second, now former general manager, spelled incorrectly here in his article about front offices. But anyway, so something that as writers, people who have been professional journalists for a long time, you see names spelled incorrectly. And it's kind of a what we call a tell in the business that maybe this person doesn't quite know what they're talking about. Anyway, Stan Van Gundy and Jeff Bowers were the ones who gave fat deals to Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson, and the desperate trade for Blake Griffin on an awful contract was a classic save our jobs gambit. Almost everything wrong with the Pistons then falls at the feet of the failed regime now deposed by owner Tom Gore. Top personnel men Ed Stefanski is running things now. The Pistons still don't have a team president or a general manager, and the front office's only move of note, including hiring head coach Dwayne Casey, drafting theoretical 3-and-D wings Kyrie Thomas and Bruce Brown Jr., and signing Glenn Robinson III to an above-market deal. Stefanski has been in NBA management roles for various teams since 1998, though his track record is spotty at best. Hiring Casey before installing a GM feels risky, but it's ultimately too early to know how this front office will perform. So if this ranking feels low, take heart in knowing it's a lot better than the number 29 spot that would have gone to the Van Gundy Bowers pairing. End quote. So there you have it, Grant Hughes from the Bleacher Report. And my take, you can only judge Ed Stefanski on what he's done, and I think you can safely say he's probably made the right moves. He called Bruce Brown a 3-and-D player, kind of grouping him with Kyrie Thomas in that group of potential 3-and-D players down the road. And I know like 3-and-D has turned into a bit of a buzzword in NBA circles, but for Bruce Brown, it's just not a reality at all. I don't think you can really see a world where he turns into a knockdown shooter, an overuse of what is now a cliche, which is, again, a hallmark of bad writing. Bruce Brown is a guy who can do a lot of things offensively and play defense as well, but shooting is not one of them. So he's not a 3-and-D player. He's a defensive player who provides a lot of offensive versatility, some playmaking, some rebounding, but shooting, being a 3-and-D player, is not really something that anyone's projecting Bruce Brown to be at any point in his career. Glenn Robinson III, Grant calls it an above-market deal. For me, it's more of a gamble on projections, which is something that you probably need to do if you're a team that needs an upgrade, a team that needs probably an impact player on the wing and doesn't have a lot of resources to try to go find that player in the open market or the trade market as well. So kind of a gamble on projections as opposed to paying for past production. So above-market deal, you look at the $7 million that Doug McDermott got in the offseason from an Indiana Pacers front office that he ranks as, I think, the number 10 on this list. Glenn Robinson III, it might work, it might not work. We'll see. Check back with us midseason here on Locked On Pistons. But they saved themselves, kind of hedged the bet a little bit, having that team option for year two. So, you know, Ed Stefanski and the Pistons front office, and I agree, it's an imperfect look. The process of how the hirings were made, the lack of having the titles in the correct order that we want them to have, that seemed to be the cleaner way to run a front office with a president of basketball operations, a traditional general manager, all that stuff. I agree with a lot of it, but there's a lot of those teams ahead of the Pistons that haven't proven anything in their own rights. I know a lot of them are media darlings in some ways, but you know, I'd like to see, you know, a little bit more. Again, the Atlanta Hawks being ranked where they are, higher than the Pistons on this list, and I'm scrolling up to see where the Atlanta Hawks are, a team that's the worst team in the NBA, a team that's drafted one pretty good player in John Collins, a team that's been kind of overall panned for being one of the worst draft day trades that you could make, according to many in the media, and I agree with in that perspective lately. I'm still scrolling to see where the Atlanta Hawks are on this list, by the way. Well, there you go. I found the Atlanta Hawks at number 13 on the list. This is the worst team in the NBA and a team that's made some moves that not a lot of people are getting behind as a team that's really fully on the rise, like maybe some of those other bottom-of-the-barrel teams in the standings that at least have a really bright future to look at. So Travis Schlenk, who comes from the Golden State Warriors, apparently is getting that Golden State Warriors bounce, even though the moves he's made so far have been, you know, a little bit less than whelming, I will say, a little bit underwhelming there. But that's my thoughts on that article. Again, we probably spent too much time on it. But give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check out the Facebook page, Locked On Pistons-MattSchoch. Give us a rating and review on iTunes. Help fellow Pistons fans find the podcast as we get ready for next season here in Pistons land. So this has been your host, Matt Schoch, for Locked On Pistons. Thanks for joining us, everyone, and have a good one. Get out there and vote today here in Michigan.